The title of the paper that I'm reading for you just now is The Influence of Peter Ruckman, with emphasis on the fact that no Ruckmanism was before 1950. In the Bible Version War, there are essentially three camps. On the one side are modernists, postmodernists, and a very liberal group of individuals. They form the translator groups, some within the United Bible Societies and so forth. Then there are the liberal Bible teachers and professors committed to the Westcott and Hort United Bible Societies and Nettle Allen type Gnostic Hebrew and Greek texts, which underlie the modern versions. Mainly, they believe that God has not preserved his words for us today. Then the next group is the Dane Bergen Society, who fights for and defends the traditional Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible. The Dane Bergen Society believes that God breathed out his words in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek originals. Those words were preserved in the Masoretic text and Aramaic and received Greek text. These reliable traditional texts were then used to translate our King James Bible. Enter Peter Ruckman. A third party that entered into the version issue is the radical heretic Peter Ruckman. He is one of the first group likes. The first group likes to lump the second group into, and any of you who've ever been accused of being a Ruckmanite because you believe in the King James Version know what I'm talking about. Dr. Peter Ruckman is a heretic simply for holding radical ideas about God's Word and influencing others with those views that are outside of the Bible. Dr. Ruckman believes that a translation such as the King James Bible can be inspired of God, or given by inspiration of God. He promotes the idea that God breathed out his words and they became a perfect King James Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All, Pasa, scripture, Graphe, is given by inspiration of God. Theopneustos, which are the words breathed out by God in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But the Ruckmanites forcibly project their thinking that God gave special revelation that is the King James Bible, and they wholly ignore the Textus Receptus and Hebrew text. This leads others to use this depreciatory term, King James only, to describe all those who believe that the King James Bible is the best and most accurate translation. These know-nothing smear members of the Dane Bergen Society and the Textus Receptus people with the Peter Ruckman group with this predatory statement. Tenets of Ruckmanism on inspiration. The tenets of Ruckmanism held in common by the members of his organization separate him from all of Christendom. The first and main pillar upon which all the others are built is that the King James Bible is given by inspiration. All of his minions, as well, versed in preaching inspiration of the King James Bible to any challenger. They parrot the gist of the company line. It goes something like this. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Therefore, if I quote some scripture to you, as I just did, it is inspired even when I quote it. Therefore, if it is quoted as scripture from the King James Bible, then the King James Bible was given by inspiration or inspired. The same thing. Sorry, if this thing quoted out of the Quran or other things that claim to be given by inspiration, just because it says it is, does not make it so. On inerrancy, this leads to another tenet of Ruckmanism that says the King James Bible is infallible and inerrant. While it is true that the King James Bible is translated from the best underlying text. Those texts represent the inerrant originals that were given inerrantly by the breath of God. No one can give the substance of the attribute of perfection of a perfect God to a man-written translation. Even the King James Bible on preservation. The next tenet of Ruttmanism we are concerned with is the one that says that the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. Ruttman does believe that the authorized King James Version is God's Word, and he will use the term God's words, plural, and preserved without any errors in the language which was intended for us, which is English. Ruttman even uses Psalm 12 to prove his theory. But the promise of preservation of God's words is contained in the Bible, and Psalms 12, 6 and 7 are two verses that prove that. The problem is that those verses in Psalms have nothing to do with the King James Bible. By accepting this tenet of Ruttmanism, the door swings open to accept all other tenets of Ruttmanism. This would be very dangerous and lead one down the path to apostasy by these heresies. On the King James superior to its underlying text, many people are fooled by what Ruttman clearly says about the Hebrew and Greek text. They think that only the Westcott and Hort type texts are being alluded to, and this is not true. He has stated repeatedly that the King James Bible, authorized version, 1611, is superior to any Greek text. Listen to it. Quote, "The authorized version, 1611 text, is to be preferred over any Greek text, as it tells the truth of the matter." Notice how the English corrects the errors of the Greek text. Ruttman believes that the authorized 1611 version is superior in every way, even over the text from which it was translated. He uses as further proof that the order of the books in the King James is superior to the other books of the Hebrew and Greek text. What this creates for Ruttmanites is that the only authority for their Christian faith and life is a translation cut free from its moorings. The idiocy of this absurd position is that the text from which the King James Bible were translated from are inferior to the King James Version, and the King James Version is enthroned to a place of supremacy over them. This opens the door to the heresy that the King James Version contains advanced revelation not contained in the Hebrew and Greek text. On King James Version containing advanced revelation, the final tenet of Ruttmanism we'll be concerned with is the heretical assumption that the King James Bible contains advanced revelation or advanced light. This stance essentially says that you lose light, supposedly light, a spiritual light, if you use the Hebrew and Greek text instead of using the King James Bible exclusively. Listen to Ruttman's quote. "Light is found in the authorized version text. No other Bible, sic, contains it. No other translation of any edition or in any language except German contains this kind of phenomena. If all you have is the original Greek, you lose light." The reason Peter Ruttman can teach advanced revelation and light for the King James Version is that he has magically moved the closing of Scripture canon by God to 1611. This is truly incredible and unprecedented. Listen to Ruttman again. "The King James text is the last and final statement that God slammed the door of Revelation in 369 B.C. and then slammed it again in 1611. So according to Peter Ruttman, God kept the door open to the giving of the canon for an extra several hundred years. And thus, the Authorized Version, 1611, is able to boast advanced revelation and give new life. Most all other cults can lay claim to some form of advanced revelation, advanced life, through their own writings. And if any Christian has entertained any of the teaching of Peter Ruttman, he or she is exhorted to come out from among them and separate from this error. A supernatural origin cannot be given to the King James Version, it being a human effort of translation, no matter its superior quality. Since this is the path that leads to Ruttmanism, we have then this section on double inspiration. Peter Ruttman holds an unorthodox view on double inspiration. By keeping the canon open until 1611, as he does in one form of double inspiration. The correct view on inspiration according to the Bible has already been covered. God's breathing out his words began with the Old Testament words and ended between 96 and 100 A.D. Ruttman bases his idea on his saying when he says that more than 150 quotes, that is scriptures, from the Old Testament appear as a translation in the New Testament. It is his logic that the first time they appeared in the Old Testament, they were inspired. The next time these same scriptures appeared in the New Testament, they were inspired again. Dr. Ruttman then applies double inspiration to attempt to prove that translations can be inspired. He applies the translation work of the Holy Spirit in these chosen passages from the Hebrew to the Greek to man's translation of the Bible. The Bible versions. To Mr. Ruttman, there's no difference between what the Holy Spirit translates from the Old to the New Testament being compared to man translating the entire Bible. He also states that the Holy Spirit, when translating from the Old Testament, does not always translate them literally in the New. And then Ruttmanism, not before 1950. It didn't appear before 1950. Dr. Oriel Hymers, Jr. of the Fundamentalist Baptist Tabernacle in Los Angeles, California, has a standing offer of $1,000 for anyone who can show that a Baptist or Protestant scholar believed Ruttman's views of inspiration as an inspired King James Bible before 1950. Ruttman crows this statement. The King James Version is on par with the originals because it is verbally inspired. No, stupid. That's not what Christians taught back in the 1660s to 1700. The King James Version was directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. He just repeated what was being taught in 1680 to 1700. I didn't teach that or even imply it. This could be Dr. Ruttman's biggest influence over the church. Too many pastors and teachers have used the terms inerrant, infallible, inspired King James Bible translation. Technically, to be a Ruttmanite, you must believe that the King James Bible is inspired. To Ruttman, these are Bible believers, and he must attempt a revision of church history in order to convince his followers that Ruttmanism, that is, belief in an inspired King James Bible, existed for him, that is, before Ruttman. All of the men Peter Ruttman praises from the past as holding the position similar to his about the King James Version's infallibility end up upon examination disagreeing with his position. Thus he ends up bashing present-day believers who hold the same position on the King James Version as did the men of previous generations whom he praises. Peter Ruttman believes that upwards of 40 million Christians are Ruttmanites, those who believe like he does on the inspired King James Bible. In 1917, W.R. Riley was misrepresented as believing in an inerrant King James Version, but he did not believe so. In his book, The Menace of Modernism, Riley is quoted, "To claim, therefore, inerrancy of the King James Version, or even for the Revised Version, is to claim inerrancy for men who never professed it for themselves." Ruttman then quotes in his Bible Believers Bulletin, William Lyon Phelps to have held his same position back in 1923. It turns out that Phelps held a natural position, position and not a verbal inspiration. Natural inspiration is a position believing that the Bible writers were such genii that they needed no help from God in writing Scripture. In 1924, Philip Marlowe published Which Version, Authorized or Revised? He made this statement, "We do not fail to recognize what is admitted by all competent authorities that the Authorized Version could be corrected in any number of passages." He did not start the inerrant King James Version charge. In 1925, William Everhart, author of The Late Modern Movements, did not speak of the King James Version specifically, using terms such as infallible, perfect, or inspired. In 1930, Benjamin Wilkerson of Seventh-day Adventist published Our Authorized Bible Vindicated. He was crystal clear in denying any translation could be inspired. 1931, William Hose in his pamphlet stated that the Authorized Version was not perfect. In 1949, though not putting it in print, Ruttman said he came to the conclusion that the King James Bible was infallible and inerrant. Nowhere is there any hint of anyone up to the 1950s, the mid-50s, or even into the 60s professing that the King James Bible was inspired, inerrant, or infallible. In addition to the 40 million Christians claim, Dr. Ruttman has also attempted to drag Charles Spurgeon, R.A. Torrey, Edward Hills, Bob Jones Sr. into his inspired camp. Ruttman has also implied that leaders of the past are partakers in Ruttmanism, including Oliver Green, John Bunyan, Dwight Moody, Billy Sunday, Sam Jones, General William Booth, J. Frank Norris, DeWitt Talmadge, and 95% of the members of the 10 largest Baptist churches in America between 1970 and 1985. Going for the $1,000, that is the challenge to find someone who had said that there was an inspired Bible before, translation before 1950. In 1964, Peter Ruttman published The Bible, Babel. On page 64, he states, alongside the Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, and the Authorized Version, 1611, is flawless. When it comes to uniform translating, the floodgates open. During the 1960s, the Bible Believers Commentary Series was begun. Its primary purpose was to defend the infallibility of every word of the King James Version, something which had never been done before in Bible commentary series. 1970, Ruttman wrote the influential book, The Christian's Handbook of Manuscript Evidence. Ruttman begins to hammer hard his theory of the King James Version being inerrant and inspired. Dr. Ruttman degrades the use of the Greek in his book, saying on page 137, "Where the Greek says one thing and the Authorized Version says another, throw out the Greek." In 1973, Bruce Cummins wrote the book, The Foundation and Authority of the Word of God. In it, Cummins leaves no doubt as to his belief that we have an infallible translation. Mr. Cummins shows some Ruttmanite influence. He describes Dr. Ruttman as a thorough student of manuscript evidence. One of the books listed in his bibliography on the King James Version issue the only one espousing infallibility, was Rookman's Christian's Handbook of Manuscript Evidence. Throughout the 1970s, more and more influence of Rookmanism shows up in writings. We see writers such as Herbert Evans, Dick Seminole, Donald Clark, and references to Rookmanism in Jack Chick's booklet, Sabotage, A Question, Sabotage. Into the 1980s and 90s, many more writers took a stand for an inspired, infallible, inerrant King James Bible. The influence was by then saturating Christendom. In the 1980s, we have Rookman-influenced writers Homer Massey, Don Edwards, Chester Murray, Barry Burton, Norman Ward, Samuel Gipp, Bob Stewart, Robert Sargent, and Michael Breckinridge. The influence of an inspired King James Version continued in the 90s with James Sun, William Grady, Final Authority, Gail Ripplinger's New Age Versions, and All of Thy Word, and Timothy Morton. Also included in 1993 is Pastor Mickey Carter of Florida with his tome, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. And on page 74 of that book says, the King James Version is the plenary, verbal, inspired Word of God. Word for word, the very minute details, jots and tittles, were God breathed into man who wrote it. Rookman kindly refers to Carter as a friend. In 1995, Paul Heaton, a pastor in Michigan, published What About Those Italicized Words? The second edition, 2002, on page 29, he says, if any word or words in the King James 1611 are not the inerrant, preserved, inspired, words of God, then pray tell, where is the perfect Bible? Where is that perfect Bible? Heaton recommends further study of Rookman's Christian Handbook of Manuscript Evidence. The mid-90s continue under the influence of Rookmanism with writers Thomas Holland, Michael O'Neill, Roy Branson, James Milton, Ed DeVries, and Dr. Solomon Aorkin. In the 2000s, we have writers John Adair, Walter Beebe, Gordon Bain, and Jack Mundy, all towing the line of Rookmanism. These writers and more, from the 1970s up through the present time, all exhibited evidence of Peter Rookman to one degree or another. Some are very adamant in their belief in an inspired King James Version. Even Peter Rookman is accurately aware of his influence on others. Michael O'Neill, previously mentioned, summarizes the Rookman influence of an inspired King James translation in his book, Do We All Have the Word of God? Quote, and with deepest affection to his servant, Dr. Peter S. Rookman, speaking now with deepest affection of his, that is God's servant, Dr. Peter S. Rookman, who is, in my estimation, has influenced more people directly or indirectly to believe in the infallibility of the King James Bible than any other man in the 20th century. The challenge remains, the $1,000 awarded to anyone proving that the view of the translation is given by inspiration before 1950 was held by anyone. And it is believed that Peter Rookman will hopelessly continue to name names of those he thinks will agree with his stance. But in every instance, it has proven otherwise. It can be stated as a matter of fact that no Baptist or Protestant scholars believe that the King James Version was given by inspiration before 1950. However, it is the damaging influence since 1950, introduced by Dr. Peter Rookman, that the King James Bible translation was given by inspiration and is inspired, inerrant, and infallible, that is his biggest blunder. This heresy separates Peter Rookman and Rookmanism from the rest of the Christian world. It is a most dangerous heresy that is infecting all of Christendom.